te vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya.
Narayanam
namaskritya. Naram caiva narottamam.
Devim
sarasvati vyasam. Yodaya mudiraya. Astapaishu Bhadrishu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Sroke Bhakti Bhagavati Naishtaki. Reading today from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 85, Text 21. This chapter is entitled Lord Krishna Instructs Vasudeva. Sri Shuka Vacha Akarnya Itam Pitur Vakyam Bhagavan Satvatar Shabaha Pratyaha Prashrayanu Amraha Prasan Shlakshnaya Ira Shishuku Vacha Akaryetam Pitur Vakyam Bhagavan Satvatar Shabaha Pratyaha Prashrayanamra Prasan Shlakshnaya Gira Shishuku Vacha Akanyetam Pitur Vakyam Bhagavan Satvatar Shabaha Pratyaha Prashrayan Ramra Pratyaha Prashrayan Ramraha Prahasan Shlakshnaya Gira Shri Shuku Vacha Akarnyetam Pitur Vakyam Bhagavan Satvatar Shabha Pratyaha Prashrayanamra Prasan Shlakshnaya Gira
Thank you.
Sri Shuka Vacha. Shukadeva Goswami said, Akarnya, hearing, itam, in this manner, pituhu, of his father, vakyam, the statements, bhagavan, supreme lord, satvata vishabaha, best of the yadus, pratyaha, replied, prashraya, with humility, anamraha, bowing his head, prasan, smiling broadly, shlakshnaya, gentle, gira, with a voice. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Shukadeva Goswami said, having heard his father's words, the Supreme Lord, the leader of the Satvatas, replied with a gentle voice as he bowed his head in humility and smiled. Please repeat. Shukadeva Goswami said, having heard his father's words, Supreme Lord, leader of the Satvatas, replied in a gentle voice as he bowed his head in humility and smiled. Purport by the disciples of Prabhupada. Srila Jiva Goswami describes what Lord Krishna thought after hearing his father glorify him. Vasudeva has been honored with the eternal role of my father, something even demigods like Brahma cannot aspire for. Therefore, he shouldn't be absorbed in thinking of me, of my godly aspects. Moreover, his reverence greatly embarrasses me. It was to avoid this very situation that after killing Kamsa, I made a special effort to reinforce their pure parental love for me and Balaram. But now, unfortunately, the statements of these sages threatened to revive some of Vasudeva's and Devaki's previous awareness of my majesty. Amanjana timanandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshumilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha chiti tanya manobhishtam sabitam yena bhutale Swayam upakaramayam dadati svapadantikam Namom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarane Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Shiva Shadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare. So in today's verse, after hearing Vasudeva glorify him and Balaram, Lord Krishna starts to reply. And unfortunately, as Jiva Goswami points out in the purport, Krishna was wanting to be more seeing the intimate parental affection of his father, Vasudeva. But having been influenced by the sages at Kurukshetra who were in kind of an awe and reverence mood, this reinforced the Aishvarya mood of Krishna's father. So Krishna doesn't act like God here. Krishna is trying to help Vasudeva have these intimate feelings of parental affection. But Vasudeva as having trouble seeing Krishna as his son and not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna is described to have prashraya. He acts with humility. He bows down as a son would before his father. And he smiles broadly. And his voice is very gentle. It's not like some booming voice from the clouds. It's like the voice of a son speaking to his father. So even though Krishna has that feature, being this loving childhood boy, from the very beginning, Vasudeva and Devaki had a hard time giving up the awe and reverence. The very first time they got Krishna's darshan in the prison house of Kamsa, Krishna appeared in the four-handed form, and he told them about their previous lives, and they knew that he was God. So they're saying how well begun is half done, so they started off on the wrong foot. They didn't start off very well. If they wanted to be like Nanda and Yashoda, having a very intimate, loving relationship. But it was Krishna's arrangement. Krishna wanted to show the world that he wasn't an ordinary person. So he appeared like this to Devaki and Vasudeva. So they pay the price for this by not having a hard time having these pure parental feelings. So in this purport, Jiva Goswami refers to what Krishna calls a special effort after Krishna killed Kamsa at Mathura. Of course, he killed so many people. He killed the elephant Kuvalyapita. He killed the wrestlers, Shanur, and Balaram killed Mustika. And some other wrestlers came and attacked Krishna. They would kill those wrestlers. Then they killed Kamsa, and then some Kamsa's brothers, I think, came and tried to attack Krishna. They killed them. So even though Krishna, before the wrestling match, started, everybody was seeing Krishna as a cute little boy and Balaram as, I think these big wrestlers are too big and strong for Krishna. They were seeing Krishna as a regular boy, but then when Krishna killed him so easily, it kind of made the average resident of Vrindavan astounded. But because Vasudeva and Devaki started off by really strongly identifying Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it didn't take much for them to see him as God again. So Krishna and Balaram freed Devaki and Vasudeva had been imprisoned. So after killing Kamsa, Krishna and Balaram freed their parents. And it's very interesting how it's described in the 44th chapter of the 10th canto, how now knowing their sons to be the lords of the universe, Devaki and Vasudeva simply stood and joined their palms. It describes how they did not embrace their sons. So here was their chance to get intimate with their darling Krishna and Balaram. They'd been imprisoned by Kamsa. They'd been, you know, worried about Krishna winning, not being killed by the wrestlers. And now Krishna and Balaram emerged victorious and were freeing them. And Krishna bowed his head in humility at that time also. But Krishna acted like a son, but it's described they did not embrace their son. They knew that he was the Lord of the universe. And it's described that they were shankito, they were apprehensive. So here's the time when the parents should be totally happy, totally relaxed. I'm sure we can be assured that if Krishna freed Nanda and Yashoda from some prison house, they would instantly embrace and, you know, they'd be very happy. and very, it wouldn't be apprehensive. But this is a special problem that Vasudeva and Devaki had. They had a conflict of emotions. On one hand, they had the emotion of Aishvarya, respecting the Lord's majesty and power and greatness. On the other hand, they had, as parents said, the desire to have a very loving, intimate relationship with their children. But this is sort of like Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. He had a conflict of emotions and feelings. He was not a coward. He loved to fight for a righteous cause. And so normally he had no trouble going on a battlefield, like a book distributor may have no trouble going out and distributing the books normally, but maybe if his mind is disturbed, he might have a harder time sometimes. So Arjuna was ready to, in the beginning, he was ready to fight. And he asked Krishna, he wanted to see the armies more closely. So it's described, Bhishma Drona Pramukataha. Pramukata means right in front of, so somehow by Krishna's arrangement, the way that Krishna brought Arjuna up in the battle formation, we saw Bhishma and Dronacharya, his respected martial arts teacher and grandsire. So the objects of his attachment were right before his eyes. So sometimes in life, Krishna wants us to renounce this material world and have no other desires but to be with him in the Goloka Vrindavan, in the spiritual world. But along the way, we have to show Krishna that we want him more than anything else. So Krishna will sometimes arrange for things that we're attracted to appear right before our eyes. And this is so many tests that we have to pass in this material world. So Krishna brought these respected elders before him. And the first word that Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, Partha Pachyaitan Samavetan Kuruniti, the first word that Krishna said was Partha, a name for Arjuna's mother. So this, Arjuna was ready to see the enemy, but this word Partha reminded him of his mother and reminded him of the whole family connection. So he started to see them, different grades of friends and relatives, rather than us against them. He saw them all as gurus, all as friends or respectable persons. So this was a test for Arjuna. And so basically Arjuna had this conflict of emotions. He was ready to fight, but he has this intimate affection for Dronacharya, Bhishma, and so many others on the other side. So he had a conflict of emotions. So he couldn't, it made him almost paralyzed. He couldn't move. He said, Na shakshami avastatum brahmativa chame mana. I can't stand here any longer. My mind is reeling. Nimitani Shapachami Viparitani Keshava. I see only causes of misfortune. Viparitani means the opposite of what you expect. So usually it's a win-win. A kshatriya will come to the battlefield, either be victorious and enjoy victory, or you'll die and go to the heavenly planets. So it's usually a win-win. But for Arjuna, it was a lose-lose. Whatever he does, he's going to lose. He'll either lose the fight, or he won't even fight, and everybody will call him a coward. Or he'll win the fight, and he'll kill his loved ones. So it's lose-lose-lose. There's a lot of losings in there. So he has this conflict of emotions. So intimacy is okay, but it depends on time, place, and circumstance. Prabhupada points out that this is not the right attitude for a kshatriya, to be diplomatic, or I mean to try to see in a peaceful way on the battlefield, to be peaceful. So Arjun had to be raised out of this emotional conflict that he was in. So it's described that when he finally surrendered to Krishna, he said, Shishyasteham Shadimam Trampapanam. Now I'm your disciple, I'm surrendered, soul surrendered unto you. So Prabhupada said the Krishna smile of that time. Today's verse, Krishna smiled, Prahasan. He smiled when he faced his parents. And he smiled when Arjun surrendered. And Prabhupada explains that Krishna was happy that Arjun was choosing, rather than be a friend, to be a disciple. Now, in one sense, that's a step backwards, because if all we're thinking of as important is intimacy, then Arjun was more intimate with Krishna as a friend. But Arjun wasn't qualified. His emotions were mixed up. He wasn't qualified. It wasn't the time and place for intimate dealings. It was the time to do dharma. So Krishna was happy that he came to this more serious state of mind, more serious than a friendly talk. And Prabhupada explains that talks between the spiritual master and disciple are serious. So when he became serious, then he could understand about duty and dharma and rise above his conflict of emotions, which had sort of paralyzed him. He couldn't move. So in this situation that we're hearing about today, when Krishna referred to this time at Mathura, when Devaki and Vasudev couldn't even embrace their sons, they were also like Arjuna. They had a conflict of emotions, which almost paralyzed them. So they had to. Arjuna sometimes experienced Aishvarya, like after the Vishwarup. So Arjuna had this problem, but Devaki and Vasudev had this problem as well. So devotees naturally, in our tradition of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, there's a description that there's these various rasas with Krishna: Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya. And it's described that the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas recommend that we, whatever rasas we have is okay, but it will satisfy the soul. But there, you talk about that intimacy is intimate relation, love of God, it is valuable and important. So in Shanta and Dasya, awe and reverence have a place, but it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that in Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya, Aishvarya is like cripples the loving emotion, so it gets in the way. It's like sand in the sweet rice. Ready to enjoy the sweet rice, but there's sand there. So this Aishvarya gets in the way of these rasas. So that's the problem. But Aishvarya is not bad in itself. Just like Prabhupada mentioned that for worshipping the deity of Radha Gopinath, we shouldn't assume that we're on the highest platform of spontaneous love of Krishna. So Prabhupada explained that we should worship the deity in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. Not that Radha Gopinatha are not on the altar, but we have to be very sober and serious when we worship the deity, because we're not on the platform of spontaneous love. So there's many mistakes we could actually make in the worship if we're too casual. So we're supposed to be in a very reverential mood, very careful mood. In the dealings of Krishna's and the coward boys and the gopis, very carefree, casual mood. But in our deity worship, Prabhupada explained that we have to be very careful and on time, clean, and avoid the offenses. There's 64 offenses that could be committed in deity worship. So Prabhupada mentioned that in this case, Aishvarya is important, it's good. Also in Prabhupada's writings, he came out with a Krishna book, which is summarizing many of Krishna's advanced intimate pastimes in Vrindavan with his eternal associates. And this Krishna book, George Harrison paid for the printing of the first Krishna book. And this Krishna book was sold not to just people that already knew about Krishna, but just to people in the West that knew nothing about Krishna. So without the proper understanding, they could take the affairs of Krishna and the gopis as normal romantic affairs. So Prabhupada was very careful to explain that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He used the phrase constantly. So every time Krishna did something that might be considered in the wrong light for a human being, Krishna kept pointing out that he is God, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada wanted people to never forget that Krishna is God, because the average person on the street will misunderstand Krishna's pastimes and leelas. So there was many times when a little bit of seriousness, or it can be with the spiritual master as well. There's a saying, familiarity breeds contempt. So if we take the spiritual master as an ordinary person, or are too casual with the spiritual master, we don't have a little bit of aishvarya or gravity, then we may make offenses to the spiritual master. Of course, everything in spiritual life balance is important. So you don't want to be stiff around the spiritual master, think, oh, he's the Sevaka, he's the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead, and he's the representative of Krishna. And so we get so stiff and with so much awe and reverence that we can't act naturally if it impedes our service. But we're very careful to have that respect for the spiritual master, never see him as an ordinary person. So sometimes Prabhupada was very grave. And once a reporter saw that Prabhupada didn't seem to be smiling, and he was very serious, very grave. So she said, "Do you ever smile?" And then Prabhupada smiled like a big smile. He said, "Yes, I smile." So she saw the different sides of Prabhupada. But the spiritual master doesn't always show the serious side. Sometimes, like Prabhupada would tell jokes about Gopal Bhan or whatever. And Prabhupada would be very intimate with the devotees, and he'd pat the children on the head and be very affectionate. The spiritual master is trying to help the disciples have a balanced perspective. He's trying to teach them, according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, to see the spiritual master and the senior devotees in a respectful way, but at the same time be natural and not be artificial around them. Not to have artificial stiffness or, like that. So Prabhupada was, in so many ways, was trying to teach balance. So getting back to Vasudeva and Devaki, the verses in the scriptures that describe how only the residents of Vrindavan, the coward boys, the gopis, the cows, Nanda and Yashoda, they have this rag marg, this spontaneous devotion, as part of the quality of Vrindavan. And outside of Vrindavan, it's not the right place for this spontaneous loving mood. And the devotees of Vrindavan are described as Kevala Rati. They can see the miracles of the glories of the opulences of Krishna, yet they still feel equal to him, intimate with him. Like Mother Yashoda sees the universal form in Krishna's mouth, and maybe for one split second she thinks, oh, this is amazing, but then her predominant mood kicks back in, and she's again his mother. Whereas the predominant mood of Devaki and Vasudeva is Aishwarya. They're trying to have this other mood, but then the Aishwarya kicks it back into their consciousness. So, in this case, Krishna is smiling when he looks at his parents, his father having this Aishwarya mood. So it's hard to tell why Krishna is smiling. Krishna is Gambhiri, is very deep. But he could be smiling because it's kind of ironic that Vasudeva keeps trying to have this intimate mood, but he doesn't seem to be able to do it. But there's many reasons he's not. He's not in Vrindavan, where everything is very simple. Nanda Maharaj is a Vaishya, he takes care of the cows, there's not a lot of politics. A big political leader like Hamsa is not causing trouble in Vrindavan, he does send demons there, but Kamsa doesn't spend much time in Vrindavan himself. But Kamsa spends a lot of time in Mathura, and Vasudeva is a king. He has all this opulence. So it's hard for an opulent king to have this simple mood of Vrindavan. Like when Devaki and Vasudeva got married, you know, the father of Devaki gave a big dowry. 400 elephants, 1,500 horses, decorated horses, 1,800 chariots. So imagine with that kind of opulence how difficult it would be to have the simple mood of Vrindavan. I was thinking, what if somebody, some rich man in Bombay like a Birla or a Hinduja donated 400 elephants to the Radha Gopinath Mandir on Janmashtami. He said, my only request is you take good care of the elephants. So here this temple has a kind of simple mood with a lot of brahmacharis. Live simply, you have little lockers. But what if we had to take care of 400 elephants here in the temple? Maybe each devotee would be assigned 3 or 4 elephants, so you have to see that these elephants are fed and taken care of and bathed every day. And the simplicity of the brahmachari life would be seriously threatened. So the opulence of Vasudeva and Devaki made it harder for them to have the simple, intimate mood of the residents of Vrindavan. In fact, it's described that in Mathura and Dwarka and Vaikuntha, these are not the places for this rag marg, this spontaneous devotion, where people will see Krishna as an equal and not get this Aishwarya mood. Even in Kurukshetra, the gopis, when they went for the lunar eclipse, they found it frustrating because it was not Vrindavan. They couldn't have the same pastimes with Krishna in the groves of Vrindavan and the Yamuna. They were in a kind of a different place. So the thing is that I was trying to get the idea across that we may think that Madhurya is so much superior, but Aishwarya has a place as well. Just like in the Ayurveda, it talks about different rasas or tastes of food. So what if a child only eats sweets? Like most children only want to eat sweets, but their parents will, if they see them eating too many sweets, they'll stop them because they'll say, no, you'll get sick. Eat your vegetables also. So So actually most people in the world are eat too many sweets, too many salty things, so they get diabetes and have problems. But the Ayurveda talks about different flavors that are good for more holistic health. Bitter is also very good, especially too many sweets. Like yesterday we had a bitter sabji with a sukta, with bitter melon and what do you call it? Those stringy things, you drumsticks. So bitter is also very good for the health. So everything has a place in Krishna's plan. Krishna is Rasaraj, so he knows when all the tastes are appropriate. So Queen Kunti had these beautiful prayers. She was also a royal person. She was the sister of Vasudeva. And in her prayers in the first canto, although she has some awe and reverence, she seems to have a little more intimacy than Vasudeva. Like she says, Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nandagopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namah. She describes how through trouble she and the Pandavas and Draupadi were humbled and put in a more dependent position on Krishna. In fact, she even prayed for calamities. She said, Vipada santuta shrashra tatra tatra jagadguru bhavato darshana yachad apunar bhava darshanam. She prayed that, let the calamities come, I don't care. Because Krishna, every time we got in trouble, we got the darshan of Krishna. And by getting the darshan of Krishna, we won't have to get the darshan of the material world in future lives. So she prayed for trouble. Prabhupada in one purport pointed out that Vasudeva and Devaki were in prison for a little while, but most of the time they had a pretty normal life. Whereas Kunti and the Pandavas had a series of dangerous situations they were in. They had to go to the forest for so many years. They almost got burned in the house of Shalak. They had poisonous cakes sent to them. So many troubles. So it says in the 10th canto also that Yashyaham Anagrami Harishe Tadanam Shanai. Krishna mentions that when he especially favors somebody, he takes things away. Although Kunti was, like Vasudeva, born into royalty, Krishna favored her by putting her in a more dangerous position, but Krishna always was there to protect and serve his beloved devotees. So it seems that she grew more intimate because Krishna had taken so many things away from her. In fact, she was a widow also, whereas Devaki had Vasudeva. So she was put in a very dependent position. So sometimes bitter experiences or difficulties are good for a devotee. And sometimes being chastised by the spiritual master is even more good for the false ego of the disciple than to be praised. I'll tell one story of my brother. My brother was in California. He was a nice person. He was a vegetarian. He did some meditation and yoga. He helped me get interested in Indian philosophy a little bit. But he was not so serious about spiritual life. He was a sportsman. He liked to go surfing and skiing. But at one time I gave him the Prabhupada Lilamrita. So he read about Prabhupada. It was a kind of a one-volume condensation. So even though he was involved in material life, he was a little bit pious. Like, he would not lock his door, which is a little bit unusual in the West. He figured whatever I have is I'm destined to have, so he wouldn't always lock his door at his apartment. So anyway, He got cancer from the sun called melanoma and died within a year after reading the Lilamrita. But when that happened, I thought it's not bad. Now, why did I think it was not bad? Because around the same time, he got a new girlfriend. In America, they don't always have arranged marriages. So he got a new girlfriend who was a meat eater. She ate meat, and she loved to cook. So she turned my brother from a vegetarian into a meat eater again. And whatever spiritual things he was doing were less because of her. And they were planning to get married. So then my brother came down with cancer. Now, I should say that my brothers, after reading the Lilamrita, he said, I don't think I can be a Hare Krishna devotee like you. But after reading about Prabhupada, I really respect what you're doing. I think that Prabhupada is a very great personality. So he had appreciation for Krishna's pure devotee. When somebody appreciates Krishna's pure devotee, they're not exactly a materialist in the same way they were before. Prabhupada said, if someone just touches the books, they'll never be the same again, let alone read the books, let alone appreciate Krishna's pure devotee. And because my brother appreciated Prabhupada, I believe that Krishna helped him, because he would have been married to this girl for the next 30 or 40 years. He was about 38 years old when he died. He was very healthy, very athletic. But Krishna saved him from 40 years of eating meat with this lady by taking him out of this body quicker. So we have to see that Yashyam Anugrami Harishetatanam Shanai. Krishna helps people that want to come a step closer to him by taking things away sometimes. So Krishna took away his health, took away his life. But it's kind of funny that it's not funny, but he was getting chemotherapy and radiation, and his hair fell out. My mother was helping him, and he said, look, I didn't plan to become a Hare Krishna like my brother, but look at me now, my hair's falling out. So he had a sense that Krishna was taking things away. He was thinking about Krishna a little bit. So maybe now, rather than being with this lady eating meat, he's already taken birth again in a devotee family. So we should understand that bitter experiences or trouble are sometimes have a purpose in Krishna's plan. And before I was a devotee, I was a transcendental meditation teacher for about 10 years. I was involved in this process for about 10 years, which was more impersonal than Krishna consciousness, not as satisfying to the soul. But I got my high school wrestling coach gave me Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. And then later, a devotee gave me a Back to Godhead magazine. In the Back to Godhead magazine was an article about Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was commenting on Queen Kunti. And it happened that it was the same prayer Kunti plays for calamities. So I memorized these words, Ibada Santu Tashashrat. I memorized that verse, even though I was not a devotee or anything. I used to like it, and I used to think, in transcendental meditation, as they say, if you meditate, then everything will go better. Your business will go better, your family will go better, your health will go better, your material life will go better, your spiritual life will go better. They say everything will go good. But this great devotee, Queen Kunti, she's praying for trouble. Sometimes, if it'll connect her with Krishna. I was thinking, this is very amazing. Very brave attitude of Kunti to pray for trouble. So I admired her for doing it, but I thought, I can't pray like that myself. I'm not that fearless. But I so admired her sentiment that I learned this song. I was working at a meditation academy in New York, and it was doing voluntary seva in the winter time, and there was snow and ice on the ground. They had a printing press, and I had to carry some printed materials, like they had some kind of printing plates or something on, I don't know about printing, but it was the old system of printing. So I was on kind of wet ice carrying this stuff, and I didn't want it to fall in the snow. and I slipped, and I fell. And I kind of didn't want it to get wet, so I landed like this. There was a brick under the snow, so I hit my lower part of my body with a brick. Then that day when I went to the toilet, there was some blood in the toilet. So I went to the head of the place. He said, well, we can't take care of you here. We're not set up for medical. So you have to go home to your parents. So my parents were in Los Angeles, so I went home very quickly. I got a flight. And that's where the temple was of Hare Krishna. And as soon as I got on the plane, I started to feel like I'm getting better. And my mother said, you better be telling the truth. You better really have an injury. Is that my parents paid for my ticket. So I'm flying in the flight. As soon as I get on the plane, I start to feel good. And then I thought, maybe Krishna heard my prayer of like Queen Kunti. Maybe he causes trouble to get me closer to him. Then when I got to L.A., I went to the temple and met various devotees, which helped me come to Krishna consciousness. So for me, a bad thing that happened was actually good in Krishna's eyes, in Krishna's plan. So we should understand that any difficulties we have, any are purifying experiences. I guess we can end here. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Thank you very much. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.